Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Behind the Scenes podcast. We have had quite a week.
Excited. We weren't sure if we were going to get this podcast.
Yeah, we weren't sure.
It's looking like we are, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. So,
Jeremy has been on his deathbed all week. So sick.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it that. I actually still have a lingering cough.
No, you are sicker than I've ever seen you in our entire, since I've known you. I've never seen you so sick.
Yeah.
So, laying in bed.
Sorry if I have kind of a lingering cough in this episode, but
we've had quite a week. We've had quite the start to the year. We were traveling and then we kind of got slammed with the
illness.
Where
did we go? We went to Huntington, was it?
We came back from Bend
because we were there for the first few weeks, and then we left pretty immediately after.
Went to Huntington Beach for a mastermind workshop, work related thing, and then literally came home from that,
which that was
2 days later, left
so much energy. I think that's actually why I got sick, is because the mental, it was so fun, but just the emotional and mental energy of just being there and collaborating with all these awesome people and meeting new people and like brainstorming the next year or two.
Yeah.
Was just a lot of energy. And in my body's like, okay, I used up all my energy.
Well, and super motivating. We left being like, okay, we have all these things we want to do and start and like get organized. And then it was like, wah, wah.
Well, no. Then we were back for 2 days. And
we weren't back. Then we left the next day. We got back.
No, we were back for 2 days.
Okay, maybe it was 2 days.
And then we left for a 2-night overnight marriage retreat mentor intensive thing with our premarital counselors, who you guys have heard us talk about a lot, Chris and Jamie Herb. And that was just
also emotionally taxing. Super good also, and super,
super
motivating,
good.
But just
the biggest bummer, I think, babe, is we like had so much momentum, and then
to start the year,
like we were on fire, like really excited. I remember being like, we're gonna crush it, and we got Dan on board now, and it's just gonna be awesome. And then I got hit hard.
Yeah.
And then it took all the wind out of the sails, air out of the balloon, and put us out for about a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Super crazy.
So now we're on the tail end of that. That's
all
the beginning.
This sick talk got that out of the way.
Yeah. That's kind of been the beginning of our.
Also why we're kind of like, okay, well, like, what should we do for this week's podcast? We've just been kind of in this fog.
Yeah.
And we just thought, well, we're going to make it behind the scenes for you guys. And we're just going to tell you guys about probably one of the most impactful things that's happened in the past week, which is the marriage retreat thing that we just got back from. So we just thought we'd give you guys a little behind the scenes of like what that was, what it looked like, how it was helpful to us, and
how it could probably be helpful to you.
Yeah. It was super powerful, even though Jer started to get sick while we were there. So he kind of went down on the last day.
Yeah.
But it was still just a super, super awesome time. So we thought we'd just share a little bit of the wisdom from the Herbs. Our good friends that
really
married
just kind
us
of like
and did our premarital counseling and have taught us so much. So
yeah,
go ahead. Sorry, babe.
No, so I was just going to say, really, we're going to kind of just go through a good habit and practice that they've been doing. Basically, they've been doing this for 20 years. It just was their 20-year anniversary. And they just decided this year to do it and bring some younger
and just bless
couples
us, basically,
along with them. So like, hey guys, this is what they said. They're like, hey, we would be doing this anyway, but we thought we would invite three couples that the Lord put on our heart to do this with, and hopefully it becomes a rhythm for you guys and something that is kind of a guiding light in your marriage. Mm-hmm. So for us, it was really special to be a part of something that's so rhythmic for like a couple that, I mean, we look up to the Herbs marriage immensely. They got four kids and just awesome family and full of wisdom, and not just like wisdom, but like tried and true practices. Like they're the inspiration behind the marriage journal as well. So like they, I mean, they've been doing the marriage journal for 20 years every Sunday. Yeah. So like talk about a testimony of how it can
four kids
help and yeah,
they're just awesome. So we look up to them a lot. And so we were really honored when they asked us to come and do their marriage retreat with them and go through the same things that they go through every year. Just kind of,
and it almost
state of the union,
getting
reevaluating where they're at. So
yeah, it almost didn't happen too, because just getting everyone together was super difficult. And we decided to do it because we were out of town and we were coming back from Huntington Beach, and the other couple,
there were two other couples there with us too, so it wasn't just us and the Herbs. I don't know if we said that part, maybe we did.
Yeah, so it was the Herbs and then three couples total, including Audrey and I. And so we decided to rent an Airbnb right here in Beaverton. And I called it the Sparkle Cave because it was this really weird old church that a family bought, and they were like living upstairs or something. And like the downstairs was just, is like the walls were painted sparkle. And it was just, it was one of the ugliest places I've ever been, to be honest. It was pretty bad. So yeah, but we had this whole big, like old kind of, it was like this old church, had this like hallway, and all the old classrooms were like converted into bedrooms and stuff. So a lot of space. It was cool. But anyways, that's where we spent two nights, and it was basically first night or the first night we were there. Yeah. We all kind of just like hung out, got to know each other, talked, you know, went over the agenda. And did we get started that night?
I think we did. Yeah. We went through some of the stuff that first night. We went through the marriage mission statement.
So there was like basically four sessions. First session was like, write out your marriage mission statement if you haven't already.
Well, hold on, pause. Okay, so before we went there, they had us do this exercise, which I thought was super powerful.
This is one of the key takeaways from this podcast, we feel like.
Yeah, so they had us, they emailed us some questions and stuff to fill out before we got to the retreat. And one of the things that they had us do was each of us individually, so Jeremy did his own and I did my own, but we wrote down the ideal state of certain aspects of our marriage and then the reality of certain aspects of our marriage. So like for example, and you write it in the present tense. So for example, we wrote out the present tense ideal state for communication in our marriage. Then we wrote out the present tense ideal state for the spiritual health of our marriage, for the financial health of our marriage, for
the physical
aspect of our marriage, for family and parenting. So we went through all these topics, and Jer and I each wrote our own. And then while we were at the retreat, we come together and we wrote each other's Then we also wrote our reality states, which is like, okay, here's the reality state of the communication of our marriage. Here's the reality state of the spiritual aspect, the financial,
so you're able to look at like what your ideal would be.
And how do you close the gap?
And compare it to your reality.
Exactly.
And then when we all got together, we were able to kind of talk about like, okay, well, this is the ideal and this is how we're doing. So how do we, like Audrey just said, close that gap? What are some practical steps we can take? So while we were there, what we did is, you know, like one session, for example, communication, we Audrey and I together would write our ideal state for communication. And that just looks, do we have that pulled up anywhere?
Yeah, so we also had to read each other's and realize, okay, this is Jer's ideal state and this is my ideal state for communication. Yeah. And there's some discrepancy in there.
But there's also a lot of
common ground. Yeah. So we had to figure out like, okay, not only how do we get from our reality state to our ideal states, but also how do we merge our ideal states? It was a really helpful exercise to do. Like, I think you could do it with anything in life. Doesn't have to be marriage, but just writing down, here's the reality of this situation. Here's in present tense what the ideal state would look like. I think just there's something powerful about writing a little one paragrapher about that. You know, it was like super helpful. So like, for example, I was going to read one of the ones just to give you guys some flavor for like what it actually looked like. So we wrote out when we were together, we came up with the ideal state in present tense for communication in our marriage. And so that one was, we communicate in an encouraging, patient, and affirming way based on our love languages and what we've learned about each other from the Enneagram. We value honesty and confront conflict with compassion. And then for each thing, they had us set some goals to achieve that ideal state. So some of our goals were
1 to 4, very practical, very
specific,
attainable,
measurable.
So if that's goals. If what Audrey just read is our ideal state, the next step in the exercise is like, okay, what's 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 goals that you can do to get there, to do that? And so
we had like the marriage journal.
Well,
we had
so do our marriage journal every Sunday is one.
Mm-hmm. We had date night weekly date night. We had nightly words of affirmation in our jar. We've talked about that on the previous episode, but that's something we're doing this year, writing each other just like a nightly affirmation.
Ending every day with an affirming word for each other that we write down. Like, hey, babe, I like really love how you were patient with Ember today. That was really encouraging. I just really value how you're treating her lately. Good job. Or I write that down.
Or it could be something you were thankful for. Like, hey, babe, I was so thankful that you cleaned the kitchen last night.
The point is, it's healthy communication, and we thought we should end every day with that. So
then we also had no phones in bed because that also just helps us communicate.
Yeah.
At night.
So those are the 4 attainable, simple goals this year that should get us closer to our ideal state, which is what Audrey just read.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the exercise. And we did that for a bunch of different areas, categories of our life and our marriage.
I was going to give one more example just for some behind the scenes.
Okay, I'll do it.
You guys are really getting into the behind the scenes of like...
Yeah, this is of you might be like, wow, this is boring or a bit much, but guys.
But it was super helpful. So
I encourage
you
to do it.
And honestly, we were sick last week. So we're like, this is what we've been learning. This is what's been on our heart. So we're just going to share this. So,
yeah.
So I thought it'd be fun. One of the ones that was like really cool for us was the family parenting one, just because we're just kind of starting to scratch the surface with Ember of like, okay, what kind of parents do we want to be? And like really trying to like learn more about that. And so we wrote down for the ideal state of our family. Our kids feel like they are a part of a team, but we are the captains. We empower our kids to believe in the more that's within them and make good choices. There is an excitement about family adventures and a desire to spend quality time together. And then do you want to read the goals to achieve?
Yeah, sure. Well, so that's like the culture we want to
have our family
create. Like we want to create a family culture where it's like, family game night is actually something everyone looks forward to. And like a road trip isn't this loathed activity, but rather this like awesome. Like we get a, because
they're on the team.
Because they're on the team and they feel valued and like they have something to participate and they have a job. And and so that's kind of our goal and the culture we want to create as a family. So 4 ways we're going to get closer to that ideal state this year is, want to read them, babe?
Oh, sure. So hang our family pillars in our house, which also we'll circle back to that in a second. We haven't talked about that yet, but hang our family pillars in our house. Read 3 parenting books this year. Jared and I haven't read any parenting books, but Chris and Jamie gave us some awesome ones, so we're super stoked.
Stick to the self-help business and spirituality.
we're going to make that a goal to either audiobook or read those. And then commit to Thursday family days. We talked about this in our first episode
of the
year.
That's one of our new rhythms this year,
But family morning/afternoon days together. And then morning Bible reading time, just reading the Bible to Ember every morning.
Yeah.
We read the Jesus Storybook Bible to her every
morning. We talked about that in the last podcast with Husband Revolution.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Unveiled Wife and Husband Revolution.
So those are just some of our goals to achieve that. So, and I thought it'd be fun to camp out here a little bit just because there were some really cool takeaways that Jared and I had from the family parenting session that they went through with us. So we did these whole like ideal state, reality state things after Chris and Jamie sort of walked us through like a session. So they would kind of like share their stuff, their parenting things, what they've learned, some resources, books, scripture, ask us questions. We had have a conversation and then we'd kind of go to our room and like write out our ideal state and set our goals. And then we'd come back and do the same thing for the finances thing, or physical intimacy or whatever. So that hope that paints a better picture if you guys are kind of like, wait, what's going on? But anyways, I wanted to camp out at this one where Jared and I just thought it would be fun to share some of the stuff here because we just were
just real quick, like two things that kind of really stuck out with us in the parenting session section. And again, this is just something we're like learning right now and kind of stoked on. And one of those things was kind of the three different types of parents, like kind of that there are. And one is like there's the drill sergeant versus the helicopter parent versus the consultant. And ideally, you want to be kind of the consultant in a large sense.
So like the drill sergeant parent commands and directs. They use punishment and pain and humiliation to teach. They demand things get done now. They issue orders, like that kind of thing. And then like the The helicopter parent's like the hovering, like protect them from natural consequences and doesn't provide trophies, structure.
Like, you didn't lose. You just became last. You just got in last. Like, that's okay. It's like
no, plastic you lost. Bubble wrap the child from any negative feelings, like that kind of parent. So then the consultant is like the hybrid, basically.
Yeah, the hybrid of the two. Like, they're the leader, but, you know, they also protect, but they let the consequences happen because those are learning opportunities. And
lets, like, the child choose and experience those consequences.
Or gives the child choices, which kind of goes into the second thing.
Yeah, this was a huge thing.
What's the book, babe, that...
I think it's called Love and Logic.
Love and Logic, yeah.
Any parent listening probably knows exactly what I'm talking about if I'm saying that title wrong because it's a super famous book, but
yeah.
I think it's Love and Logic.
Yeah, they were saying we kind of went through one thing about in through Love and Logic that was really interesting to us, and that was, you know, like if it's time to go to bed, you know, and the kid doesn't want to go to bed and they're kind of throwing a temper tantrum or whatever, you can then give them a choice, give them an option because it empowers them to do it. Ultimately, it's what you want them to do, but like, okay, you can go up to bed by yourself or mom and dad or dad can carry you to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Which option? But you're going to bed.
Yeah, right? So basically giving them choices still fall in line with getting them to do what you want them to do or to be obedient, but they are feeling empowered in that choice.
Yeah, so it's like, I walk up by myself. It's like, great, okay. I'll be right behind you.
Yeah.
And it's like, then they walk up the stairs and go to bed, you know, and it's not this, anyways, that's
or
the
even
concept.
Like just to give some more examples, like, you know, Ember doesn't want to eat lunch. Okay. So Ember, do you want blueberries or do you want cottage cheese? And like, I just hold both out in front of her and it's like holding both out in front of her. She like knows that she has to make a decision. So then when she picks one, she's more likely to actually eat it.
Yeah, so it teaches them how to make decisions, right? And then it also empowers them because psychologically, when you make a decision, you're more inclined to do it because it's your choice and you've just empowered yourself to accomplish it. And so it was this really interesting kind of psychological, you know, understanding that we were like, oh, that's really interesting. Like we should...
And we can do that with Ember, like now, at the age she's at now, even though she doesn't, like, you know what I mean?
Well,
she knows,
yeah,
like, Ember, do you want to wear these shoes or these shoes? But you have to wear your shoes. Do you want me to load you in the car? Or do you want to climb in the car? But you have to get in the car, you know?
Yeah.
We were sharing this with some of our friends that have three kids, and they were like, mind blown. Yeah. And we were like, I mean, I'm sure.
Well, then
a lot
some
of
our friends that have a lot of kids are like, yeah, oh, well, yeah.
It's yeah,
been,
yeah, you
it's
have
been
to do that.
An awesome tactic for us.
So, it takes some extra thinking because you have to think about, okay, what are the choices I'm going to give my kids?
Yeah.
But we just thought
it's not that
was
hard.
Really helpful. So
that's just a little note on the parenting thing that we
hope that helps for all you parents out there listening. If you haven't discovered that one yet, give it a try. Let us know how it works.
Yeah. So back to kind of the marriage retreat. Anyways, Chris and Jamie, they walked us through like marriage mission statement. So we came up with something that like we want to stand for, kind of what we're all about. And I feel like we're still
our marriage mission statement.
Our marriage mission statement. We're still a little,
which I'm surprised we've never written this out before, being how into this kind of stuff we are. Yeah. But
ours is a little work in progress. But here, I'll read it, babe. Where is it? Marriage mission. We wrote it down here. Marriage mission statement.
Yeah, it's still not totally worked out the kinks, but
we want our marriage to be a creative representation of the love of Christ that is refreshing, inviting, and igniting. We want to inspire our generation to be intentional with their time, work, words, home, and relationships. So that's kind of like what we want to be all about.
Mm-hmm.
And
we want our marriage to stand for.
What
and
we
be
want
a
our marriage to stand
of,
for,
basically.
Yes. It needs a little work because it doesn't really say anything in there how we're going to do that. But
through our time, work, words, home, relationships.
that's what we have right now. And we also went through kind of like our 10 family pillars, or like the 10 things we want to be about. And we've
been talking about this for a while. We talked about this in a couple episodes ago, okay, too.
Yeah. Well, real quick, like a couple.
But we like finally narrowed them down.
Just a couple of them, like apprenticeship to Jesus. And then we
read
have
them all.
And then I know. Then we have a paragraph of what that actually means and what that is. Family, adventure, community and wise counsel, health and wellness, the table, beating 50% in marriage, stewardship and generosity, rest and Sabbath, work and creating. And then each one of those has its own little paragraph we wrote out of like, well, this is what this means, you know? And so we're going to print those out, hang them in our home. So, you know,
it's like a guiding light for our family to refer back to.
What we're all about helps us say no to certain things, helps us say yes to other things, blah, 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 the whole thing. So we did that. And then after that,
which was huge. Like, don't just breathe past that.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was
like
huge. Well, then what we also did is we went through our 5-year goals and 10-year goals, and kind of the, you know, those goals aligned with what we're all about, what our family pillars are. And so it was a really cool mirroring of like,
it helped us come up with those goals.
It helped
too.
You come up with the goals. Well, that's not going to be a goal because that's not even listed in our missions. You know what I mean? Like, that has, sure, that might sound cool. That might be a strong desire, but it's not really our deepest desire. So let's just not make it, let's nix it. And so we cut some stuff out of our goals that didn't align with who we wanted to be and become. But,
and like, just helped us to determine, okay, what are desires and what are values? Because like, here's the things that we hold to be most important that are really like what we value, those pillars.
Yeah.
And then we have all of these desires. Jer and I are like idea people. We love like trying new things. But then sometimes those desires that we had, we were realizing like, okay, well, like which pillar does this fall under? And like, or where's the goal that relates to the table? Or where's the goal that relates to rest and Sabbath?
Yeah,
you know like what I mean? Like, so we don't have anything about that.
So for example, like the table, you know, Jesus, most of Jesus's ministry was done around a table, around food, right? And so for us, we've been really bad historically about like actually carving out time to sit down and have a meal. So if we want to be apprenticeship to, you know, represent, if we want to be disciples of Jesus, right, and we want to be with him, be like him, and do what he did, you cannot leave out the table.
Mm-hmm.
So the table being one of our
pillars,
right, we want to carve out time once a week to have family dinners. So like, you know, and that's going to be on our Thursday family day. And then once a month, we want to have people over, like a group of people, and cook a big meal and have a gathering of sorts around food, around the table, to live into that value we have. And so that's kind of the A to Z of how this all plays out practically and pragmatically.
And just to go back to one thing you said, because like we do have family dinners more than once a week.
Yeah.
But just like, I think what Jer meant is just like a more intentional family dinner time.
Family dinner time. Go around the table and say like, hey, like what's the week looking, what's your week about? An intentional time. Yeah, that's what I meant. But
and that, you know, it might be more than once a week for that. I don't know if that.
Yeah, we'll iron it out. We've just set aside
like,
one day specifically to do it.
Right.
Just
and
like,
then like our whole like, you know, first Thursday of the month is game night. Like that kind of falls into the table thing. I know we talked about that a couple podcasts ago too. So just like it helped us figure out like, okay, here's our values. Here's what's important to us.
Yeah.
So what goals can we set? And what goals have we already set that don't align that we can maybe like need to revise, you know?
Yeah, so. For sure. So that's good. And a lot of this, you guys, is timely for us just because we've talked a lot about like the burnout we've been feeling and just kind of how last year was just nuts, like guns blazing, all in. And we got really scattered, I feel, and just kind of all over the place. And so the beginning of this year has kind of been a, you know, resettling of the dust and like, hey, well, what are we actually about? And what's our deepest desire? I don't know if we've talked about that, our deepest desire versus our strongest desire. So like your deepest desires are the things that obviously like you
values like, most important,
the most important things, but many, many times people pursue their strongest desires. And when something's your strongest desire, it can almost fool you to think it's your deepest desire, but it's actually not.
It's this concept of
well, here's
we can't let our strongest desires overcome our deepest desires. And we have to go back. That's where this whole family pillar thing like really helps.
Yeah,
you know?
Really silly, overused example. But for example, if your deepest desire is to like lose, is to get healthy and lose a couple pounds and blah, blah, blah. Like that's really at your core, your deepest desire. Your strongest desire might be bending the rules here.
Have McDonald's
and eating that there. And you might have a burning passion to eat that. To eat whatever or bend the rules, or it's like, oh, it's okay, we're all celebrating, it's someone's birthday, I'm gonna eat an hour past when I said I would. That's your strongest desire, but your deepest desire is to get healthier. Stupid mm-hmm. example, but the point is made. So for us, this has been a coming back to our deepest desires and who mm-hmm. we want to be about and who we want to become as a family, because ultimately we are the world's, you know, marriage is a representation of the gospel, and we want to do that really well. And we want to be a family that has goals and stands on principles and mm-hmm. people can look to as like, oh, wow, like they're a good example. And, mm-hmm. you know, I forget where it says in scripture, but like we should be able to tell people, follow my example. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of intention. And so some of you might be like, well, this sounds like a lot of work and stuff. It's actually not, because you do it once and you're set up for years. Mm-hmm. And then when you're 10 years down the road and we've got teenagers, we're operating inside a structure. Of course, it's going to change and, you know, everything, you know, who knows what's going to come up in life. But mm-hmm. the point is that like your foundation is strong and set. Sorry for the little rant, but
no, that's good. And
that's
I just
the
remembered,
point. That's
like,
the point of all this.
Yeah. And it reminded me when we were doing the whole, all the marriage mission statement stuff, like the verse in John 15:30, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember like exactly what it is, but it talks about like how they will know me by your love for each other, you yeah. know? And like, just coming back to that, like Jared and I realizing like, okay, like the best way we can show people the love of Christ is by how we love each other. The yeah. best way we can show our kids the love of Christ is by how we love each other.
Yeah.
And so how can we do that better?
And it doesn't happen by accident forever.
Yeah, right.
It's exactly. The classic, like, quality time does not happen by accident. Yeah. And so if you don't intentionally, this is why we love our marriage journal so much, mm-hmm. is because it is that intentional time set aside to talk with your spouse, go over the week, ask them, hey, what brought you joy this week? And hey, is there anything that hurt you this week that I did? Is there anything like we need to forgive each other for? If you don't set aside the intentional time, next thing you know, 2 months goes by and you haven't had, you know, a real intimate conversation, and you've fallen prey to roommate syndrome. And mm-hmm. that's why the marriage journal is so powerful. By the way, we've done this before, but for all the podcast listeners, there's a discount code, podcast 10, 10% off the marriage journal. It's basically equates to free shipping. So if you want free shipping, podcast 10 discount for the marriage journal. But we've mentioned it before, so that's a little podcaster insider discount,
behind the scenes discount.
Anyways, I think we've talked a lot about this, babe.
Yeah. So this episode's we're going to keep it kind of short, but
yeah, around 30 minutes here.
Jump into our roses and thorns.
Yeah, roses and thorns. All right, roses and thorns and roses. Babe, what is your thorn?
Well, I think our thorns are going to be pretty self-evident this week, but
being sick.
Also being sick. I mean, I got sick, but just did not get it like Jared did. I had like a weird nausea and just no appetite. I was super tired. I had like a fever for one night. But having a sick husband with a baby and trying to work,
you did great,
was
babe.
So, and after yeah. coming back from travel and our house was a mess, like it was just like, oh,
yeah.
I don't know how you moms do it with more than one kid, but mom should not be allowed to get sick. That's all I have to say.
Well, that's probably why you didn't really. Like.
Yeah. Also, I'm a little bit better at taking all the things than you are. But.
Yeah. So that
was my thorn.
That's my thorn too. So collective thorns. We probably have collective roses.
We do.
I don't know. Babe, what's your rose for the week?
Well, I said in my Instagram post that I wasn't sure if you cutting your hair was going to be my rose or my thorn.
Oh, yeah.
I said it might be my leaf.
Well, what is it? What is it?
I don't know, because I'm sad because I missed the curls, but I also like think you look good.
There we go.
Because this is how your hair looked when I fell in love with you and when I met you and through our entire
all
dating.
All the feels coming back. Yep.
But I would say my rose was... Honestly, my rose is doing a lot, like this marriage retreat thing. It was super powerful. I felt like it was just something that we've been needing for a really long time.
Yeah.
And
we're so thankful for Chris and Jamie to like go like just the effort it took for them to.
Yeah, it's such a blessing.
It might not have been that much effort, but still, it was like still they didn't need to do it. And
yeah,
so we're just thankful for them. Yeah, that's my rose too. It's probably you know, of course, our mastermind meeting in Huntington, and then that retreat, and then guys, today is our second day with Dan helping us out. So that's been a huge rose for us as well. So we have a little bit more help around here at the Roloff company. So we're pretty stoked about that. It's a huge rose going into this new year. And I think our momentum's back. So I'm just excited to get going. I think we've got a lot of good infrastructure for this year. Yeah. So that's kind of, that's a big monster rose, but.
All right.
There what we do
you
have
wait,
it.
Babe, you didn't say anything about your hair. So tell
yeah, I thought I got,
tell the podcast listeners, is it your rose or is it your thorn? And tell them
I'm
why
not
you
sure
cut your hair.
Yet,
just
but
in
yeah,
case.
Let me go over, guys. So it's so funny because so many people are commenting on social media, and it's like I can't stand it when people have an opinion, you know, a strong opinion, and they like refuse to donate, you know. And I've asked a few people like point out or point blank, you know, like because they're like, I hated this and that. I hate your hair. It's like, first of all, why are you saying anything negative on social media? Second of all, did you donate or did you give? You know, anyways, that's just a note because I've noticed a lot of it. And I'm like, you know, there's more comments than people that gave. So to those that did give. For those that did
clearly
give,
we've been sick.
Yeah, no. Super thankful for you guys. We raised just over $15,000 for charity water, so people can get clean water that don't have access to it. So if you don't know, charity water, they kind of revolutionized the charity model, and they brought the one-to-one model to 501c3 businesses. So every dollar that's given, every penny of it goes toward the project. And then they've got a separate giving thing to handle operations and costs. And that's like only a select amount of people are there and blah, blah, blah. So really cool organization. Scott's a friend of ours and just an all around amazing, amazing human being.
Yes.
So that's what we did with the hair, and it was successful. Really excited. They'll be sending us updates, so that I'll be sending out via email. You'll hear about it on social media.
And if you guys want to watch the video of the hair getting cut off.
The full video is on YouTube. Yep. You can go watch the full video.
Jeremy and Audrey Roloff on YouTube. And
Jack Bodie, Audrey's brother, did the video and it was awesome.
And tell the Little People Big World fans why it was funny who cut your hair.
Oh, yeah. So there's a strategy as to where we did it and who cut it. Nobody's mentioned it so far.
See if you can figure it out.
Yeah.
If you're a Little People Big World fan,
you should figure it out. Yeah, you should be able to. But anyways, thanks a lot. That's just a little recap on that. It feels good. I'm really glad it's cut.
Looking good, babe.
Yep. All right. Well, that's it for today, you guys. We appreciate
love you guys.
We appreciate you guys.
Have a great week.
See you next week.